Set out the proposed council tax for the year 2024-25. The recommendations are set out in paragraphs 2.1 to 2.3, and the reasons for the recommendations are set out in paragraphs 2.4 to 2.7. Mr. Mayor, on the 30th of January of this year, council determined the budget for 24-25 and set a Band D council tax for this borough at £173.56. The council has now received notification from the major precepting authorities of the relevant precepts and from the parish stroke town precepting authorities of the relevant precepts, apart, of course, from Creswell Parish, which is in Quarried and cannot set a precept at this time. One point worth noting, Mr. Mayor, is on page 14, 15 and 17. If we look at Band D for Spafford, the borough's council tax is £173.56 for Band D. But the county council's is £1,544.64. The police and crime commissioners, he takes £273.57, and the fire authority gets £86.77, plus some minor, very minor parish charges. Thus, Mr. Mayor, the great bulk of the tax goes to the county council, and our humble £173.56 becomes £2,078.54 when all the other authorities are added, especially the county councils. I say all this, Mr. Mayor, so that, you know, in order to repeat the fact that I make no comment about the needs of the other authorities. I'm silent about that. But I simply point out yet again, although we are responsible for the collection of council tax, the great bulk of what is collected goes elsewhere and not to the borough. So I think that is worth repeating again. Finally, Mr. Mayor, the council tax resolution is attached as Appendix 1 to the report on page 8. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is that seconded? Any comments on that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening. Good evening, councillors. This administration left the last administration with high council tax, no money in the coffers, and really challenging problems across a whole range of the council. Instead, the previous administration, the previous Conservative administration, left a dowry. Now, I say a dowry, not a diary. If it was a diary, I would suggest that you got one in 3.5 years' time if council tax continues to increase and fees and charges continue to increase as they do. But instead, the last administration left a dowry. A dowry that gave a surplus of £750,000 in the previous year, which went into reserves. Additional £2 million worth of interest coming in last year and again this year. £34 million in the coffers. And instead, what do we see? We see council tax rising by 2.95%. We see fees and charges rising by up to 17%. The brown bin charge went up by 17%. And yet there's a reduction in the council tax support. And no doubt later we will debate the removal of some of the empty home support. So I say that it's not about how much you raise, it's about how much you need. And I would suggest, as I have done consistently, and has this side of the chamber consistently said, that you don't need to raise it by that level. Therefore, we will not be supporting this evening's motion.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to say anything more? I'll come back later. Okay. Anything else? Right, in that case, we have the motion forward in terms of the council tax resolution. Sorry,
council tax resolution. Thank you very much. Can I just say, this is the usual whinging from now the opposition. They've been doing this for 20 years. Say, let's cut council tax. Let's cut council tax. Meanwhile, services have got worse over 20 years. Later on, we will see we have a report which makes some interesting points about the handling of the borough council over the past few years. But we will come to that. It's not all bright and rosy. They haven't necessarily left us with wonderful things. We are going to make sure that we spend appropriately, that we manage the council's finances sensibly, that we provide appropriate services and good services for our residents, and that is our plan, and that is what we intend to do until the next election. And then we will see what the electorate will think about that in comparison with what happened before. It's interesting, though, we put our taxes up by 2.99%, encouraged, I may say, by the government, and I said, made that point in my budget speech, the fact that the government are effectively pressurising us to put it up by 2.99%, their government, I might add, not mine, theirs. And yet, in the county council, no worries about putting it up by 4.9%. I mean, is that something to do with hypocrisy? I ask myself, I don't know. We all have to make our own minds up about that. But plainly, we are putting our rates up far less than the county council. And as I just mentioned, it's the county council that takes the biggest bulk of the rates. And therefore, people are paying a lot of money on that. They're paying 4.99% on a larger sum of money. We're charging 2.99, 10 pence a week. And they're whinging about 10 pence a week. Think what the county council are taking from our residents every week. It's a hell of a lot more than 10 pence. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. We'll now go to the vote on this proposal. I understand the president here that this needs to be a recorded vote, so.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, by law, this particular vote needs to be recorded vote, so I will call each member's name out in alphabetical order. Once you hear your name, you can say whether you are for, against, or you abstain from the motion. Councillor Astin.
Against.
Councillor Jane Barry.
For.
Councillor Beattie.
Against.
Councillor Carter.
For.
Councillor Cook.
For.
Councillor Cooper. Councillor Cross.
Against.
Councillor Dodson.
Against.
Councillor Anne Hagella.
Against.
Councillor Peter Hagella.
Against.
Councillor Fordham.
For.
Councillor Godfrey.
For.
Councillor Hobbs.
For.
Councillor Hood.
For.
Councillor F. James.
For.
Councillor R. James.
Against.
Councillor Gareth Jones.
Against.
Councillor Peter Jones.
Against.
Councillor Kenny.
For.
Councillor Loughran.
For.
Councillor McEwen.
For.
Councillor A. McNaughton.
For.
Councillor D. McNaughton.
For.
Councillor A. Nixon.
For.
Councillor J. Nixon. Councillor Hardaisy.
For.
Councillor Pearce.
For.
Councillor Pert.
Against.
Councillor J. Reid.
For.
Councillor A. Reid.
For.
Councillor Rose.
For.
Councillor Lewis-Dowell.
For.
Councillor Sandyford.
For.
Councillor Spencer.
For.
Councillor Thorley.
For.
And Councillor Middleton.
Against.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quite a long one, this. Sit back and enjoy it. Mr. Mayor, I'm sure that we always welcome this report as one of the highlights of the year. The purpose of the report is contained in paragraph 1.1 to 1.4, and the recommendations for approval are to be found in 2.1 A, B, C, and D. We are required, in short, to approve our treasury management, investment, and capital strategies to ensure that cash flow is adequately planned and that surplus monies are invested appropriately. Mr. Mayor, few of us here tonight have a deep knowledge of the technical details of this report. And indeed, this depth of knowledge is not required of councillors. What we need to do here is to reassure ourselves that we are in good hands with our specialist and experienced officers and our external advisors. It's another thing. It's not just our internal officers, they're also getting advice from external specialists as well, which is another check and balance and another bit of information coming in on which decisions can be made. We should be looking for, Mr. Mayor, amongst other things, in this paper, we should be looking for prudence, caution, value for money, financial controls, and expertise. And I would commend this report in that you can find all these things in it. Now, I could go on for several pages proving that point. I'm mindful of what Councillor Pert has said, however, and I would be quite happy to leave it at that point, because I'm sure you've all read that report. You've all seen the areas of caution and prudence and value for money and the financial controls which are applied and expertise, as well as, of course, the oversight by things like the Audit and Accounts Committee, which has a look at this. The things which come to council for us to have a look at and cast our eye over to reassure ourselves. And therefore, I think I shall leave it at that point, Mr. Mayor, and I'm sure you will all have read that. And so I move the recommendations, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Who's seconded? Any comment on that? If not, we'll go to the vote. All those in favour?
Can I say, Mr. Mayor, the council was lucky to have chosen the short version.
Okay, item 11, council tax charges in respect of unoccupied dwellings. Again, Councillor Cook.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
I suppose it should be a short, will you?
This isn't quite as long as the previous one. Mr. Mayor, this council's approach has been for many years to charge the allowable increases in council tax rates for unused homes. But in the very recent past, legislation has allowed further increases in those rates, and our officers, Mr. Mayor, have worked very hard to give the council the opportunity to enact those charges from 2024 onwards, from the next financial year onwards. And the recommendations are laid out in paragraph 2. The reasons for these recommendations are set out in paragraphs 2.2 to 2.5 and include the encouragement of owners to engage with the council and speed up the occupation of existing properties. That is going to be the theme of what I'm going to be saying. Section 3 on key issues includes the observation that there is a greater proportion of empty properties in this borough than in comparable authorities. Despite our empty homes strategy and an empty homes officer dedicated to bringing properties back into use, there is significant demand also for housing in the borough, for purchase and rent, and very strong demand faced by the housing options team for suitable accommodation. So we have housing pressures in this authority, and greater than many comparable authorities. Thus, Mr. Mayor, empty and poorly utilised properties are a wasted resource that could be used to house families in the borough. And that is the major aim of what we are suggesting tonight. If we look at second homes, for example, the use of second homes, there's a wide definition of second homes. Their use varies very considerably, and the empty homes officer routinely receives complaints from neighbours about unkempt properties that are recorded as second homes because they're furnished, but in reality are as problematic as if they were empty properties. There will be support by both council staff, council tax staff, and the empty homes officer to help affected owners to make informed choices about the future use of their assets, whether that is to pay any additional premium or put the asset on the market for sale or rent. Now, the government has actually indicated that it wishes to restrict or inhibit the level of charges for some categories of dwelling, and regulations are expected, but they're not yet on the table, as it were, with regard to the exceptions to the new premiums for certain properties. And so there may have to be some adjustments to figures later on, because the government hasn't finally made up its mind what to do with it. Paragraph 5.5 of the table below this is a summary of the revenues that could be raised if the recommendations are accepted. But please note that the income figures assume that all property owners will pay the additional charges. But reasons why this is unlikely are outlined in this paragraph and also in the following paragraph. And don't forget, this could involve reoccupation, which would be a victory if we could get that house brought back into use for other residents. And that would help us in terms of our housing supply and indeed the new homes bonus. Don't forget also, the council would retain 10%, about 10% of any council tax which is brought in. Don't forget, the bulk will go to the county council, and also police and crime commissioner, fire people, and so on. We will get 10%. So, for example, if the tax brought in £1 million, and that's a pretty high figure, we would get about £100,000. The rest would go to the county council. I can see the county councillors lapping that up, thinking, goodness, more money for us in the county council. So, can I say that the report also covers the changes to charges for uninhabitable property, property empty for 1 to 2 years, and second homes as well. Now, paragraph 5.13 introduces the table in paragraph 5.14, which includes various categories of second homes and the approximate number within each category. Comments are included in the final column. In total, of course, there are about 338 properties who could be classed as second homes. And in general, we would wish to encourage occupation where possible. Paragraph 5.515 deals with the inspection of a sample of 90 second homes to see whether the properties had a negative impact on the localities, and the results are shown. And if they're not insignificant number of these so-called second homes who are having a negative impact on nearby properties. And I bet you wouldn't like to have a second home next door to you with all the problems of damp and vermin and overgrown gardens and all the rest of it, which flow from that. Much better to bring these things into the marketplace where people can buy or rent them. And save an awful lot of problems for everybody. Also, Mr. Mayor, the council will consider requests to waive premiums on the grounds of hardship or exceptional circumstances, which we based on the merits of the individual applications. So it's not an arbitrary one size fits all. We will be looking at people who've got particular worries, particular hardships, exceptional circumstances, and we may well adjust our policies to those. The appendix on page 19 and 20 shows the number of dwellings in each category of unoccupied charge and an estimate of the value of the discounts given. The table also shows the charges that are proposed. So, just to conclude, Mr. Mayor, whilst revenue may be generated by the charges, another and far, far more important reason for the charges is to increase the supply of housing available in the borough. The councils, revenues and housing officers will work together to support owners of affected properties who may wish to bring their property into use, and paragraph 23 lists some of the actions which could be taken to help those property owners. But again, I stress, Mr. Mayor, the principal aim of this report is not to raise revenue, but much more importantly, to increase the number of dwellings available in the borough for sale or rent to reduce housing pressure. I ask Council to note the report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr.
Mayor, I very much welcome this report. As some of you will know, in the ward that I represent, a number of houses were empty for many years. The irony is that those houses were owned by the County Council. They were kept empty for a period of about 15 years, at a time when many people were desperate for homes. And I think that is an absolute tragedy. And I think those in the County Council who are responsible for that should be holding their heads in shame. Eventually, the houses were sold at auction, and several of them were bought by a developer who didn't have the resources to do the work that was necessary. The houses then suffered a number of fires, in fact, over 20 fires in these properties. Now, it may be a coincidence that those properties have now been sold to someone who is actually working on them and improving them. We're talking now about two or three houses that had remained empty. But it may be a coincidence that they have remained empty up until this point, when the council was planning to introduce this penal charge on keeping homes empty. But maybe it isn't. Maybe the developer actually realised that keeping those houses empty for longer was going to hit his pocket, and therefore sold them, and they are now being improved and being put to good use. So I very much welcome this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oh, where do you begin? It feels like the night of the Ralph Cook Show. The previous administration had a very proud record of bringing empty homes back into use, and approximately 10 years ago there were about 600 empty homes, long-term empty homes, 2 years plus. When we left administration, there was only 300. And the reason it was important is that when you're asking communities to take new homes, new build houses, then I think there has to be some social equity. And that if there is a stack equivalent to over a year, nearly a year's worth of building within the borough, of homes that are just empty, then that really doesn't show social equity in my view. However, what it feels like we've got now is the heavy hand of regulation. As Councillor Pearce indicated, a penal charge. That seemed to go further than I was going to go, because I was going to say it was actually the council penalty tax that was being introduced here. Because, and Mr. Mayor, I would like to propose an amendment to the policy. Thank you. I'd like to propose an amendment to the policy because Councillor Cook is right. Having empty homes is a poor use of property that could be made available for wider use, especially when there is a need to build more homes. And this council has undertaken a consistent but fair position in bringing properties back into use over the past decade or more. Given this, there can be many reasons why a property is actually empty. And it is not always a deliberate choice. For example, probate, following someone's death, can take between 6 months and 2 years. And bringing in charges that actually the individuals have no choice over seems to lack the social equity that I indicated. Equally, bringing back long-term empty homes into use can take upwards of 12 months if you have to fully gut and refurbish and re-roof and do all those sorts of things. You have no choice. But it seems to me that actually this isn't trying to encourage that sort of activity. Equally, sometimes the delays to bring back properties into use are outside of the owner's control. For example, being reliant on a planning permission that can take 12 months end to end to secure. Therefore, the amendment I'd like to propose this evening is that this council takes a much more progressive stance rather than waiting for government to make its own decision, because after all, we ask consistently as locally elected community leaders for government to give us the authority to take decisions locally, not waiting for government to make decisions. So as a result, I'd like to propose the amendment, which is that we introduce exceptions to the premium charge as laid out. First of all, exceptions to both empty homes and second home premiums if they're undergoing probate for a 12-month deferral. If they're going through an active sale and marketing process or letting process, a 6-month deferral. Secondly, exceptions to the empty homes premium, properties that are undergoing major repairs, once commenced. And thirdly, exemptions to second home premiums. And I don't need to necessarily read what's in front of members this evening. But this would seem to me to show community leadership, not waiting for other people to make decisions, but what is actually right for our residents and what is fair. I move that amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Is that amendment seconded? Mayor, I want to second the amendment and reserve the right to speak. Anybody else wish to comment on that amendment? No? In that case, Councillor Linton, yes, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I feel like I have to sort of before I start talking about the amendment, just correct Councillor Pearce in his statement he made. He does know as well as anyone else that those houses at Castlefields in Castle Street, were there to protect the route of the Soar. Now, anyone who uses the Stafford Western Access Road will appreciate how much better Stafford, apart from the roadworks going on, how much better Stafford is for that. And as soon as the protection was taken off that route, those houses went up for sale. Sadly, they were in a poor state of repair, but they couldn't be touched because they're on the route of the Stafford Western Access Road. Now, in terms of the amendment, I would say the reasons for the motion are laudable. We do need to make sure that houses are empty, houses are tidy, and this is one of the tools that can be used. It is quite a heavy-handed tool, and just one example from me is around Airbnbs and other short lets. Within Stafford and Staffordshire, we are one of the best places in the country for tourism, and it does grate slightly that this will affect some of those tourism outlets. The cabinet member did mention raising money. It's not about raising money. There's other ways and better ways of raising money. And I'll give you a quick example. One of my constituents in a local area has got a laundry business. He does an awful lot for Airbnbs, and he now employs 6 people to help him with that. So please don't get focused on the easy wins. And also, it's not about County Council. We're in Stafford Borough Council here, and that's where what we should be talking about. I'd just like to sort of read out a paragraph, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry,
could I just read out a paragraph, which I think is pertinent. And this has come from government, effectively, and it says, under forthcoming regulations, house homeowners will be required to obtain permission from their local council before transferring their property into a short-term holiday let. This change is complemented by the establishment of a mandatory national registration scheme for holiday lets. A developer has been met with a broad approval from various stakeholders, including the platform Airbnb. So please, a plea to the Cabinet, make sure that you sort of keep your minds open to these things, because business is much more important than an easy win in terms of cash benefit. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do you wish to clarify something, Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That's all right, Councillor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just a point of information. Councillor Winton referred to these properties being in Castle Fields. In fact, they're in Castle Town. You mentioned Castle Street. In fact, most of them are on North Castle Street. And he said it was all about the swap. Well, in actual fact, it wasn't to do with the Stafford Western Access Road. It was to do with a predecessor of that, which ran through Castle Town. And not all of the properties would have been directly affected by it. The properties had been leased to housing associations, and had the County Council chosen to give long-term leases to those housing associations, they could have continued renting them out to those people who needed them, but they didn't. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Councillor.
Thank you,
sir.
Just to remind, it would be Councillor Cross, then Councillor Burr. No one else can speak. Yes, once Councillor Cook has spoken at the end of this particular item, we need to vote on the answer first.
So, Councillor Cook can speak immediately before Councillor Pert.
Right, on the amendment.
So, no one else can speak, go to Councillor Cook now.
So, I can speak? Oh, good. Mr. Mayor, it's interesting that this amendment, half of it, reproduces paragraph 5.16 to 5.19 on page 63 of the officer's report. And these are the exceptions to the premium charges. It does say the government has indicated that regulations will be made to restrict the premium charges in some circumstances. The council will be bound by any exceptions. So we would be bound. If the council, if the government said we're going to restrict some of the charges, we're bound by it anyway, if they're prescribed by the government. And then the potential exceptions are such as properties undergoing probate. It's highly likely the government's going to restrict that, and we'll give a 12-month deferral. These are all the things that you've got in your amendment that the government is likely to be acting upon. And therefore, we would have to do this anyway. And some of them, fine. But so we'll wait and see. I don't see the point in rushing these sorts of things. We know what's likely to happen. If the government doesn't, then we can make a decision on our own. But we'll see what the government is telling us that we've got to do to begin with. So I don't think we want to accept this amendment at all. I'd much rather we keep to the resolution which we've got on the paper. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Thank you. It's interesting, isn't it? I remember many years ago a long debate about loaves of bread and split definitions, and I think we've heard all of that this evening, because actually what the report says is potential exceptions. And the very specific point I made was, actually, if we think it is right as local politicians, as local community leaders, it is our responsibility not to wait until government decides and mandates. And instead, we have this pontification, it's highly likely. Well, actually, I want to make sure it's very definite. And because actually, we need to make sure it is fair and has social equity. And I don't want to wait for government because actually, they don't always take the right decisions.
Well, you're thinking about your
so, given. I said always. I didn't. Given that, the cabinet member does support the principles that would come down, I'm sure he will support the motion that has been, the amendment that has been brought before you this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Point of order.
Government is always right.
Point of order 15.6 on amendments. Could I just clarify exactly where this wording is going to be inserted into the report? So there's quite a lot of words there. Is it all of the words? Could I just clarify exactly where it's going to be and what it's replacing it, if that's okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assuming that we're all in support of this, I'd be more than happy to leave the offices to make that decision.
Okay, councillors, on the amendment as written in front of you, now you've all got the discussion on, can we have all those in favour of it, please?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Oh, let's tax them all to the nth degree. Death tax and all that. My goodness me.
Those who are against it. So the amendment is lost, and we go back to the substantive proposal. And councillor, is there more further debate on that? Councillor Cook, would you just want to
talk? Well, just to ask councillor to note the report. I believe that's a recommendation.
In that case, can we have a vote on the substantive motion, please? All those in favour?
Together, if that's okay with you, Mr. Mayor.
Makes sense to me.
Thank you. The Council's external auditors, Grant Thornton, have recently issued their auditor's annual report covering a period of 2021-22 to 2022-23. The priority for all councillors is the delivery of good services to people and staff at Borough, and this report highlights where we can improve that delivery, especially with our finance and governance arrangements. Mr. Mayor, I welcome the report and the improvement plan, which has been drawn up and is set out in the appendix. We are very lucky to have dedicated, hard-working staff who are providing additional resources to deliver the improvement plan, as well as investing in our IT systems to better support them in their work. Provision has already been made for this in the budget approved by this council in January. The funding is also being matched by Cannock Chase District Council. Mr. Mayor, it is important to note that this report was written at a point in time, and as you will see from the improvement plan, we have already begun to make the changes address the issues raised. Progress in the delivery of the improvement plan was overseen by the Audit and Accounts Committee, with regular updates provided to the Cabinet. Mr. Mayor, I move the Council accept the recommendation set out in Section 2 of the Council's response on page 108. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. That's items 12 and 13 together, so somebody would like to second that.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that. Reserve the right to speak.
You can, sir. Any comment on that, please? In which case, it's not the better time to council go through. In terms of summing up, we'll go to vote. All those in favour, items 12 and 13. Thank you, councillors. Item 14, the Local Government Act 2011, is the Stafford Council's pay policy statement 2024-25. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last one.
For the whole year?
no such luck, I'm afraid, Councillor. Right, Mr. Mayor, the pay policy statement provides transparency on the Council's approach to setting the pay of its employees. In summary, Mr. Mayor, it sets out the Council's policy, firstly, the level and elements of remuneration for each chief officer, secondly, the remuneration of its lowest paid employees, and thirdly, the relationship between the remuneration of its chief officers and its other officers. Now, members are asked to note that the pay awards are under national negotiation between the employers and trade unions. That's happening. On this basis, the figures quoted for employees' salaries in Appendix 1 are as of 1st of April 2023, and they could well change. But then things are happening, things move, there are moving parts going on. So the recommendations are, Mr. Mayor, that Council firstly approves the pay policy statement as set out in Appendix 1, and secondly agrees to the publication of the pay policy statement on the Council's website. So move, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Is that seconded, please?
itself covers many matters relating to the pollution of our rivers and ultimately our seas. And this is an issue of deep concern to many, many people. It is a tragedy that we've come to the point where the vast majority of our rivers are polluted to the extent that they are unfit for anyone to bathe in them. They are unfit, they are damaging the environment, and a major contributor to that is the fact that water companies, and I say companies because of course they are now private companies, are pumping sewage at an unheard of rate into our rivers, and this is absolutely disgusting and needs to be brought to an end. This motion isn't going to do that, but it will bring pressure on the relevant authorities to take action, and that is what's needed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is that item seven?
Yes.
Anybody else wish to speak on the matter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I would like to thank the officers involved in this report, such as Forage Job, and Cabinet for discussing and agreeing with the principal aims of this motion. It's been commonplace for years now of water companies pocketing money from residents and customers whilst failing to spend proportional levels on improving the substandard infrastructure. As many of you might be already aware, Severn Trent were fined over £2 million for discharging sewage into the River Trent in Stoke. Whilst this will make a difference to rectifying this environmental crime, it amounts to just 77p per litre of sewage left into the river. Do you truly believe that this punishment fits the crime? Do you believe that this will stop Severn Trent from committing this kind of act again? The unfortunate answer is, I think not. This is why this motion is so important, to protect the environment, to protect the wildlife that lives in our rivers, protect our siblings, children and grandchildren have a fundamental right to enjoy access to clean and safe rivers across the borough. I hope this motion will cut across the political spectrum and we as a united council can commit to shining a light on the problems which are facing local water infrastructure so that something can be done to improve it for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to switch your mind.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I say that I absolutely agree with the points that have just been made. The treatment of our rivers is an absolute disgrace and it needs to be called out. And I also actually welcome the amendment that's been made here because the implications of it that we will ask Severn Trent to give details of potential for developments to affect sewage outflow. And the point that is very telling here is we'll include what information, if any, is received from Severn Trent in response to this request. It's not good enough for a water authority to fail to provide the information that's needed. It's not good enough that our new housing is being built with the risk that sewage overflows will be allowed. So I absolutely agree with this motion. I do have, and I would say that we have been doing our bit. The Stafford Brooks project, which is headed up by the Wildlife Trust with the help of the Highways Agency, Environment Agency and ourselves, is a wonderful scheme to capture through nature, if you like, some of the problems that we confront here, as well as dealing with the flood issues that we all know about. I did have one question which I'd like answered, please, and that's what's the status of the emerging plan? We've had a lot of talk about it. I'm looking directly at the Cabinet member. We were told we had to wait, obviously, we understood that from government decisions that came in just after Christmas. My question is, are we going ahead with growth? Are we going ahead with the existing local plan? Or are we in a situation where we're going to actually start again? And I think those of us on this side, as well as the administration, actually need to know now what the answers are. It's important for the whole of our overall economic background and community in the borough. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Any further comments?
Okay.
Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we start, I'd like just to just remind people that I'm a member of the JBA consulting committee that as Ralph Cook was at one time, and Angela Lockhart, and Angela may still be, but it's basically I've got a non-prejudiced interest in that. Looking at page 137, item number 6, it doesn't. I don't have to sort of make a big noise about it, but basically that does refer to JBA's plans and ongoing work that's being done at the moment around flooding and flooding prediction for the future. Now, anyone who lives in Stafford knows about flooding. Anyone in the rural areas knows about flooding. I'm afraid that in terms of not so much the major floods from rivers, but Stafford and its surrounding areas, because it's mostly low-lying, does suffer incredibly with flooding. And it's so important to the people who live in Stafford Borough that we try and make sure we do what we can. If you drive down the M6, if you go on the West Coast Main Line, it's a nice water feature, but basically the whole area is doing what it should do and soaking up the water, but we've got so much water coming through the town, and as a farmer I'll tell you now that every time we get an inch of rain, you can sit down and just watch the floods come up. It's an awful state, it's bad. So it's really highlighting the work that's being done by JBA Consulting, and that needs working into the emerging local plan. I would agree entirely with Councillor Beattie. We do need to know what's happening with that plan. There's so many different facets to it. Flooding is obviously one of them. We want water quality. We do need the water quality, and no one, I don't think anyone in this chamber would disagree with that. But please, could we have some sort of a clue, a little snippet as to where we are with the progress on a local plan 2020 to 2040? It's really important. I know the cabinet member's interested in this, but we'd like to know what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to talk about a couple of things. In many of the old systems, drainage systems, they mix brown and grey water. And when we get the climatic change that we've seen of late, it tends to find that it overloads all the sewage systems that we have. And the water companies think that it's perfectly legitimate to discharge increasing amounts to watercourses. And clearly, that is not a good thing for anyone. And as a result, we would be largely in support of what's being said. The real question I have is whether it goes far enough. And instead, I see through work with Severn Trent Water and others, too much reliance from the water companies on data collection rather than actual local knowledge. I remember Severn Trent spending many years arguing with me that there wasn't flooding in Eccleshaw when I was standing with my welly boots in it. And I would encourage the water companies to do much more working with local community leaders to make a fundamental difference so they aren't discharging on a regular basis into watercourses. I'd also make the small point that the amendment in front of us this evening talks about Severn Trent Water. And obviously there are other water companies that operate in this area, like the Internal Drainage Board and the Sowen Penk. And maybe it should apply equally to all water companies rather than the relevant water company for that area, rather than just Severn Trent Water, because it might not be relevant to them. I won't suggest that as an amendment because I don't think it's substantive, but I hope that's taken forward. I would like to see greater focus on developer responsibility, because what I see is the developer has an interest to get their houses approved and built, and very little interest thereafter. And many of the problems that we have to deal with extra discharges, links to the developer having little interest in making sure that the future of those communities are not badly affected. The final point I just wanted to make was in relation to the response itself. There is a lot in the response which links the current local plan with the proposed new local plan. And obviously I wouldn't want to find that some of the proposals that have been brought forward as part of the response get lost because there isn't a new local plan. I'd like to make sure that there is direct linkage, whether it's to the current plan, because we can bring forward special policies within the current plan were the new plan to fall. And I'd like to make sure that we took a very strong stance on those. I would have urged Cabinet to go further, however, with the proposals in front of them this evening, and certainly that's what we would have done. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Councillor Kirk talks about action with community leaders. Well, you can have confidence in the fact that as a community leader and along with the Stone Labour Group, we sprang into action. As soon as we were alerted to the fact that a COS pipe had a nappy put on it by our most prestigious canoe club. There was a lot of curiosity about it, and we realised that this was to stop raw sewage being pumped into our River Trent just a few yards away from children and families who were actually canoeing on the river. And we've had one child who, it's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, has a parasite which has been caused by this raw sewage. I met, along with the Stone Labour Group, with two representatives of the Severn Trent, two of whom came along. One of them gave us chapter and verse, almost towed a party line. But the other one was quite willing to spill his sewage and tell us as much as we wanted because it turned out he was leaving. So we gained quite a lot of information. I wrote to Liv Garfield, who is the CEO of Severn Trent. She is an excellent CEO in that she replies immediately. And there was over 1,000 words in her reply. Councillor Rose has already touched on the fact that Strongford was putting raw sewage into our river at an alarming rate, and he talked about Stoke. Well, actually, Strongford was, we are downriver from Strongford, so we were getting the sewage coming down the river to Stoke. So once again, we have the fear of pollution. But we are doing a lot in Stone, a lot of us, community leaders. And Liv Garfield told me that in actual fact, in 2019 and 2022, there were only 6 recorded spillages and then only 8 recorded spillages. One spillage is too much. We don't want this filth in our rivers. We are fortunate in Stone to have a little tiny beach area where children go into the river, and then of course I've mentioned the canoeists. I take my dog into the river, I don't do that anymore. There's lots of us now who are boycotting the stretch of river. But another worrying fact is that the River Trent often floods in the centre of Stone, and we have a nature reserve called Crown Meadow. And that river will go across Crown Meadow, and we have lots of very rare plants there and a lot of wildlife and birds which nest on the ground. So we also have to think about protecting that area as well. So I'm very pleased that Councillor Pearce has brought this to the Chamber, and hopefully can tell that there's a common aim that we have to stop this for future generations to come. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a small point I'd like to highlight. It's released from a report today on the state of our rivers, which says that no waterways in England are in good health. In fact, 54% of river stretches fail to be classified as healthy because of activities attributed to the water industry, including treating and untreated sewage, discharge and abstraction of groundwater. So the actions from the board are a really important step, I believe, for us to do our part and to help our rivers and our waterways.
Just last week I was speaking to my residents in Syford when there was new houses built. There was obviously new sewage pipes for those new houses, but nothing within the village was upgraded. They were experiencing seepage of sewage into their garden when the water course was high. They complained to Severn Trent, they got a visit, and Severn Trent simply asked them how much it would cost for them to stop talking about it. They said the cost was clean water and no sewage leaks. Severn Trent were unable to provide a solution. I think asking them during the planning process, as Council Community said, is a really important first step to get the information we need to support our residents and to keep our waterways clean.
Any other comments? I welcome this particular report and will be supporting the recommendations here. I do have one issue, and that is on several responses. To the items refers to the emerging new local plan 2020-2040. Now I understood, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it not last year that the revised plan went for consultation? Please can you tell me what's happening?
Thank you. And in the I detect a general consensus on this, therefore, if you didn't mind me interjecting on this one. Recently, down our local river, I found a chap wading across the taking samples, and I asked him who he was. From an organisation, he gave me thoroughly known, Service Against Sewage, I think it was. And he was telling me on his website, they test independently all over the place for various rivers, including Housing and Great Haywood, the state of it. So you've got some access to the data there if you need it with your arguments. Okay, certainly not from me. Let's take this to vote, please. All in favour, sorry, I beg your pardon, Councillor Pearce, it's not clear to conclude, it's for you.
I'm not sure if Councillor Reid wants to say anything before I close, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Councillors Beattie, Whittington and various others for a reference to the local plan. Do note that in here we reference that the policies of the current plan and whatever new local plan emerges are going to support the actions that the officers can do. This is really good that the motion is recognising that we currently have a lot of these powers, duties and responsibilities. What this is doing is allowing officers the strength of mind to implement what's already there. For example, policy N2, I believe it is, has got lots of stuff in there that is just not currently being implemented to its fullest. This allows officers to say that there is the total spot for doing this, whether it's in the current local plan or the new local plan, when it comes through.
Thank you, Councillor Leach. Councillor
Pearce. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really only want to respond to one point, and that was in relation to flooding. The reference was made to local knowledge, and I did circulate all members with the information that I was meeting with the county planning officer, sorry, the county officers dealing with the flooding issues. I only had about, I think it was two or three responses, I would have welcomed more local knowledge and information when I had that meeting. But the meeting did take place. We are going to be having another meeting with the county, but also meeting with the Severn Trent and the Drainage Authority and, of course, the Environment Agency.
we're a major player in this. So we will be taking these issues forward, and I will be circulating a report of my meeting on that with the county officers about that.